This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
E te ti, e te ta, tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai ki Plains FM. I te ao, I te pō, are, are mai o taringa. He aha te kaupapa.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi mahana ki a koutou katoa, mea hari tau hou. Happy New Year. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Namita.
And you're listening to So Many Stories, brought to you by Ngā Kite Wānanga or Ōtautahi, Christchurch City Libraries.
Shannon and I have really enjoyed being on holiday and spending time with whānau. And we thought that since you guys might be away on holiday as well outside of Ōtautahi, we'd take this as an opportunity to showcase what's available to library members via the Christchurch City Library website and as apps on your smartphone, your tablet or your laptop while you're away on holiday.
That's right. By signing into the website, library members gain access to audiobooks, ebooks, e-magazines, movie streaming platforms like Beamer Film and Canopy, language learning resources, blog posts, book reviews, interviews and more.
We couldn't possibly do the website justice in this one episode of So Many Stories, but we have selected one author interview to play and one ebook genre to profile. So first up, it's children and young adult services specialist Kai McWilliam in conversation with Jessica Ehrlich, an Aotearoa New Zealand poet author of the picture book The Rainbow in My Heart.
Later, I chat with electronic resource librarian Simone Entwistle about that guiltiest of pleasures, the romance novel. Please enjoy.
Kia ora koutou, ko kai tōku ingoa, no mai, haere mai, ki tēnei whakaata. My name is Kai and I am the Children and Young Adult Services Specialist for Christchurch City Libraries. And I am here with our very special guest here, Jess Ehrlich, the author of The Rainbow in My Heart. So Jess, would you like to just introduce yourself?
Sure. Yes, so I'm Jess Ehrlich. I am a poet and author. I'm from Christchurch, New Zealand. I'm a mother of two. I've got one on the way. My biggest passions are reading and writing. So yes, I've got two children's books, The Rainbow in My Heart, and soon to be released is My Superpowers.
That is super exciting. And that's the end of this month, is it? Give or take?
Yeah, the 30th of August it comes out.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I might have a few questions about that later on.
Go for it. Exciting.
Wonderful. Are you reading a book at the moment?
Well, I don't have a lot of time at the moment, but I do love a good thriller. So I've always got a thriller sitting on my bedside. But I've also just discovered Colleen Hoover. I don't know where I've been.
Have you been on BookTok?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but she's everywhere, isn't she?
She really is.
So I love her work.
Oh, excellent. No, I know we've got lots of keen fans of her writing here in the library. So it's good when you find an author, especially one who's as prolific as she is, because you've got lots to choose from. Wonderful. Well, I would love to hear a little bit about how you got into writing. Was it always something that you enjoyed and you were interested in?
I've always loved writing. Pretty much from when I could pick up a pen is when I started writing. So I've got a box out in the garage somewhere full of journals and poems from when I was a child. And then I guess as I grew, I just kind of stopped writing for a while. And it wasn't until I had my second child. It was probably 6 months after she was born. I picked up a pen while I started an Instagram account. You know, it's a bit different these days.
Moving with the times.
Yeah. And I started writing as more of a cathartic release through my motherhood journey, just to get out my feelings. And in turn, it was so great because it helped me to connect with so many other parents on the same journey. And that's how my work, I guess, started to start getting shared around the world.
Yeah, those children, I hear they're quite inspirational in the things that they can encourage you to do. And
They just bring things out that, you know, I guess they just crack you open in a way that you didn't, that you haven't experienced before. And, you know, they just bring out different emotions, different feelings. It was, something I was not prepared for.
But in a good way.
In a good way.
Oh, how exciting. So then I guess talking about those emotions associated with motherhood, but then also with the rest of life that's going on. You know, the last couple of years, we've had a few different challenges. We've had COVID, in Christchurch, we've had the earthquakes, rising cost of living and stress and things like that. So from my point of view, as someone who works with tamariki, with our little people, it's great to see books like your one, The Rainbow in My Heart, a book about emotions, coming through that we can use to work with kids to help them build their emotional literacy, you know, recognizing how they feel and naming it. So it is The Rainbow in My Heart, a book about emotions by Jess Ehrlich and Rebecca Bala.
That's right.
Yep. Wonderful. And it's a Moa book published by Hachette New Zealand. And it was launched here in Tauranga in 2021.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I was talking to one of my colleagues and she said it was a lovely, lovely group, just a really happy event with lots of rainbows and engaged children. And I'd just like you to tell us a little bit about this book.
Yeah, sure. So it's an engaging, colourful rhyming book that associates emotions with colours. Mm. So I kind of wrote it in a way that I wanted kids to actually want to grab it off the shelf and have it read to them rather than just being a resource book. Mm-hmm. It uses rhyme, metaphors, personification to help identify how our body feels, what situation we might be in at that time. And also the illustrations are amazing too. So children can really see themselves in this book as well. Yep.
And I think you've literally hit on all of the things which I love about this book. I love the rhyme. It's got that rhythm and rhyme so that your voice goes up and down as you read it, and you can really impersonate the emotions that you're talking about. I love the similes in it. Anger is the colour orange, like a fire in my heart. Sadness is the colour blue, just like the deepest sea. Mm. You know, the sooner we expose our children, our little people, to language like similes, the more that's going to become a part of how they speak, how they express themselves, and allow them to make links to the world around them. And it's going to help their language development going on.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it just lends itself to the imagination. And the fact that it rhymes, I know I've had a lot of parents message me telling me that their children know exactly what's coming next. Mm-hmm. So ones that are young that actually haven't learned how to read yet, they can still basically read.
Yeah.
They know exactly what's coming next. That's really nice to hear that.
That's wonderful. Part of my previous life, I've done teaching and I've been a speech and language therapist, and that phonological awareness, that being able to think about the rhyme, words which rhyme, to then work out and read what it is. I mean, that's just going to be so beneficial for them as they get older. Have you got a favourite poem or a favourite emotion in here?
I like the excited page.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually an illustration of my little girl.
Oh, gorgeous.
So we always stop and look at that page. But I think the reason why I really like it is that while it's really important to be able to name our feelings, sometimes in the moment you can feel a lot of things. And so with the excited page, it's just about embracing that there's a lot going on and there are just so many colours and you're just too excited to pick one. So it's okay to just take a breath and just feel everything in that moment.
I agree 100%. Sometimes there is so many emotions and it can be hard just to pick one.
Mm.
I think the ones which I really like, it's that one about anger. Sometimes I get angry. I want to scream and shout. I stomp my feet and clench my fists. I want to let it out. If I count out 1, 2, 3, it helps the clouds to part. Anger is the colour orange, like a fire in my heart. And that is so true, because it feels like a volcano and you can feel it in your tummy and your puku, and it just comes up and up and you explode.
Mm.
And it's really good to help our children tune in to their body and to see what it feels like in their body. Would you like to read your excited
sure.
one here?
Okay. When I feel excited, watch me bounce around the room. I'm giggly and I'm giddy. I could pop like a balloon. There is so much to look forward to. I'm having lots of fun. Just look at all these colours. I'm too excited to pick one.
Something else which I was thinking about as I was looking at looking at the book, it's like you said, it's seeing people or children being able to see themselves represented. And you have got a literal rainbow on the cover, but you've also got, you know, kids who look so different all the way through. It's not just a mother and a child. And even when you open the book up and you've got the whole picture across the back, it's just such a beautifully diverse, colourful book in so many different ways. I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece to hold. So, well done. So I guess when you decide to write a book like this, what does the writing process look like? What inspires you? Any challenges?
For this particular book, I was inspired by my little boy. So I think he was 2, coming up 3 at the time. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't been diagnosed with a sensory processing disorder and dyspraxia at that stage, but he's very highly sensitive, and that I always knew.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of young children, even adults, have trouble expressing their emotions.
They do.
So it was, you know, we both of us were going through challenges every single day with that. And I felt like one of the biggest things for my son was being able to articulate how he was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what gave me the inspiration for the book. And when I get an idea in my head, I generally just go crazy and just start doing it straight away. I don't really plan it. I just get into it. Yeah. So I reached out to Rebecca, who's the illustrator, and also wrote the counsellor's notes at the back, which we can talk about later.
I saw those.
Yeah, and she was really keen to be involved in the project as well. So together we approached publishers, and that's how it all came about. But we had actually put the whole thing together before we'd even approached anybody. So the great thing about that is that it feels like It's so passionate to me because it hasn't been moulded in any way.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say it really is a passion project that's directly related to your own personal life. And it's great if you can get it sort of as fully formed as possible before you get to the publisher, because then you know that it is sticking as true to form as possible.
Yeah, and it's just been so amazing as well, because I initially wrote this for my son, to see it around the world now and helping so many other young children, and the messages I get from their parents, and then seeing it in kindies and seeing it in schools, like, it's completely exceeded my expectations of how far it would travel. But I'm just so happy that it is helping.
That's great. Is the furthest away that you've heard of it being used?
I know it's in the US and I know it's in the UK, but I'm not sure where else it might be.
So pretty much as far around the world as you can get before you start coming that closer.
Yeah.
That's really impressive, Jess. That's really cool. So like you were saying before, it's got the notes at the back, and I really enjoyed how easy those conversation starters and those questions make it for parents and teachers to use it with children to start those conversations and discussions. It's got kid-friendly language. It helps the kids, you know, tune in to their bodies when they feel certain ways. How do you see families engaging with this book with their children?
I think because, as I sort of mentioned before, it's written in a way that it can be read as a bedtime story or a pull off the shelf at any time type of story. But it also lends itself to the fact that you can keep the conversations going afterwards. So I know that a lot of children have been saying, I feel happy like the sun. Or I had a message from a parent the other day. Their child said, oh, my sister's sad like the deep sea, and I want her to be happy and yellow. And so I think that making those connections between the emotions and colours, that can be an ongoing conversation. And especially with the questions in the back, there's exercises in there, and there's ways to keep that going. I know in certain schools or kindergartens, they've asked the children to do pictures. So they've done different facial expressions, drawn the colours of what they're feeling at the time. So they've used the book in a way to help think of some activities to go with it.
And I guess also, you know, where this book is aimed at the younger children, but the younger we start them having these words, this language around their emotions and linking it to colours, that's going to help them as they get older and moving into STEAM, you know, thinking about the colour wheels and the emotions which are associated with colours. So even getting them, you know, start in that creative way of thinking and, you know, visual language and visual literacy as they get older. Yes, it's just one small book, in quotation marks, it's just one small book, but it's got so much potential for helping them, I guess, just pass through life and all the different. Mm.
I think as well, I mean, I know like generations ago, expressing how we felt probably wasn't as encouraged mm-hmm. as it is today.
Definitely.
And, you know, we can see that through the chain and how that's evolved in some ways. And I think it's just so important that we're doing the work now and recognizing that bottling up feelings is never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one thing I really wanted to instill in my children, that it's okay to feel. Feeling is what makes us human. It's what makes us feel alive, and our feelings are there to help us, so we need to listen to them.
Mm.
And some feelings are lovely, some are not so nice, some feel a bit yucky, and there are ways to help manage and cope with those. And I just think that it's been a really great introduction for my kids, especially to just learn about all the different ways that their body feels.
Mm. And of course, the other side of that, as well as recognising how we feel ourselves, part of growing up and learning how to move in society is learning how to recognise how other people are feeling as well. So from their body language, from their facial expression, and again, that's something that the illustrations that Rebecca's done do really well. They're really clear. Smiles, sadness, the emotions are really clear. Mm. And when I do story times here at the library, I enjoy sharing books which have different emotions and feelings. And if we're talking about how a character feels, I will ask our children to, you know, oh, how's this person feeling? Oh, he's very angry. Show me your angry face. And you watch the eyes come down, the eyebrows come down, and they're very angry. And even, you know, the fists are clenched up. And then so they can look around, they can help match how they're feeling with how other people are looking with the same feeling. And it just helps build that literacy, that the ability to read emotions. And then, of course, after we've done that, we come back to show me your happy face, and it lightens them.
Yeah.
So that's one way that I enjoy working, you know, with books like your own and with others to help build that in the library space. As a parent, how do you help your children learn to deal with their emotions?
I think one of the biggest things that I've had to learn to do is to hold space because I think a lot of us can be like this. We want to come in there and we want to fix a problem straight away rather than sort of just stepping back a little bit and allowing them to feel whatever it is that they're feeling and then talking about that when they're ready. So it's quite simple, but that's just what I do with my kids. I don't say, don't be angry or stop crying, nothing like that. I let them feel what they're feeling. I tell them it's okay to feel what they're feeling, and then we talk about it when they've calmed down a little bit.
Mm.
We also use the breathing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So on the anger page, when I count to 1, 2, 3. Yes. I remember once my son said to me, Mummy, you didn't count to 3. I was like, oh, goodness me. This is embarrassing.
But Mummy got called out.
Yeah, I really did. but that was really sweet. And I was like, you know what? I didn't count to 3, and I should have.
Yep.
Really need to take my own advice.
What emotional maturity from him, though.
But also great, because he can see that we're never going to always get it right. We're always going to make mistakes. I mean, sometimes our feelings do feel bigger than we are. And so that's why I think it's really important to model that as well. Model also apologising.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what we do. We keep it pretty simple, and we label the emotion as well. And I'll also ask them, so how was your body feeling? And I'll get them to try and explain as much as they can for a 4 and a 3-year-old, but they are getting there.
That's great. And especially as they get older, and I mean, thinking it'll be a few years away, but as teenagers, and you know, teenagers can be angsty, and just giving that language now and modelling at a young age so that it becomes the norm for them, and just being open, not bottling it up and talking about it.
Mm.
It's really healthy. Oh, wonderful. So, Jess, what is coming up next for you? I'm very excited to hear about this next book.
Yes, so we have My Superpowers, which is available for pre-order, but it will be in stores on the 30th of August, so in like a week.
Very close too.
Yeah, so it follows on from The Rainbow in My Heart. It's kind of like part of the ongoing series, if you will, but it's more aimed at the next age group.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are starting school or who are already at school, and it's all about I guess, celebrating the mindset of a child where they've got all these mental skills, so a mental toolkit, I should say, mm-hmm. of non-cognitive skills like empathy, persistence, teamwork, mm-hmm. and there's so many more. Mm. And it explores each one of those skills as like a superpower. And so it's similar in how it's engaging, colourful, rhyming. There's just a little bit more body to the text, mm-hmm. and it talks about the situations that we might find ourselves in, whether it be at home or at school or just interacting with our friends. Mm. So yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
That sounds really great. And that's it. Sometimes, you know, in the moment, the kids can be so focused on, you know, a mark which they got, or how, or whether they got the answer right, or if they didn't get the answer right at school. And, you know, that knowledge base which they're growing is important, but there's so much more to it. And with those other, the attitudes, that sort of growth mindset attitude, and how do I grow from this? How do I go back and try it again? That's what's going to really set them up for success. Mm. So, no, I've got that book on hold for here at the library. Yay. So I'm very excited to see it when it comes out. And what about any new projects or anything planned after that?
Well, I have a book that I actually just did a wee cover reveal of today.
It's
it's called You Hung the Moon, and it's, while my children love it, it's actually more of a gift book that you could gift. You could gift it to your children as like a keepsake, mm-hmm. but you could gift it to a friend who's just had a baby, or you could gift it to your own mother. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just about the special bond between a child and a mother and the growth of that relationship over time and how it evolves and sort of comes full circle. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that one as well.
Love.
And that comes out early next year.
So you're busy.
Busy. Yeah. And I'm going to be very busy in October as well when this baby's due. So getting a lot of it done now.
I was going
to be a different type of busy soon.
I was going to ask how you think that's going to impact on the workflow, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. It'll happen, but there will be a few things that take a back seat. Yeah.
Prioritising and things like that. I guess something that I really wanted to know, you mentioned before about your son saying, hey, Mum, you weren't counting. Have there been any situations where, you know, the kids have had the emotions and you've thought, how do I deal with this in the moment? And it's sort of thrown you for a loop? Or
I guess a little bit. I mean, Harry being highly sensitive has held up a few mirrors to me, and I've realised that I am as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of behaviour sometimes, I think, as parents, when you are very similar to your children, or maybe you haven't dealt with something properly as a child, that can be quite triggering. Mm-hmm. And having to take a step back and asking yourself, why is this triggering me? Probably because maybe I wasn't heard mm-hmm. or listened mm-hmm. to as a child. So there have been a few situations where I haven't really known how to respond, and they're normally ones where I'm caught out in public. Mm-hmm. And I'm also overwhelmed and overstimulated,
yes. yep.
and he is too. So I'm like, oh, this is really challenging because I'm the parent here. Mm-hmm. I'm the role model here. Mm-hmm. I need to take a deep breath and just be there. And again, what I said before, most of it is just holding space, mm-hmm. not having all the answers at the time, but just being there, simply mm-hmm. being there next to him and then talking about it when we're in a quiet place. Yeah.
No, kids really do. They give you the opportunity to find things out about yourself.
Definitely.
Which you hadn't thought about. And they do always seem to choose the most public spaces.
Really do. They let it all hang out.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Oh, exciting. Do you still journal? Or is that something that parenthood doesn't necessarily have time?
I don't really. I write things when I feel like it. I guess that could be a type of journaling, and then some of them I'll share on my platforms and some of them I won't. Mm. It just depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I want to.
So then if you are feeling, you know, if you're stressed or super busy, have you got any fail-safe ways that you relax or, you know, calm down? What works for you?
Deep breathing.
The breathing as well.
Is something that has taken a lot of practice, but that does help me. And also reminding myself of the things that are in my control. Mm-hmm. And also thinking as well, like, will this matter in a few years' time? Mm. That's one that I bring myself back to a lot, because I can ruminate a lot and I tend to overthink and worry. And then I think, oh, in a few years' time, this isn't gonna matter. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but it's just a little tool of mine that does help me bring myself back to the present.
Just to ground yourself. Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jess. It's been lovely chatting and hearing more about your book. Like I said, super excited to see my superpowers coming out soon, and maybe by the time this goes out, it might already be out so people can get their hands on it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Have a lovely day.
You too.
All right.
Hello, Simone.
Hi.
I was wondering if you could please introduce yourself to our listeners and maybe say a little bit about your role.
Kia ora, I'm Simone. I work in the content team, in the digital content team, and I look after all the electronic resources. Our electronic resources are like our research stuff, like encyclopedias, article searching, but it's also stuff like LinkedIn learning, like online learning languages, and movies, music, ebooks, audiobooks. So quite a big range of stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably wouldn't know about the full range of e-resources that are available.
No, but they're all on our website. But there's huge. I think we've probably got over 100 different things that we actually subscribe to for all our Christchurch users.
So we're actually chatting in November, but this episode will be airing in early January, and a lot of people will be on holiday at that time. So I thought it might be good to have a sense of what is available to them via the website. And you've done a little bit of research, actually, into some potential resources that people might get into.
Yeah, so if you're on holiday, you obviously don't want to be researching, you know, or deep diving into that. You want to kick back, relax, and maybe read something like it could be a magazine or listen to an audiobook. But I've actually deep dived into our ebook collection. We have a huge ebook collection, mainly on Overdrive or Libby. And our top genre on our Overdrive is romance. Nobody admits that they read romance novels, but you should.
You were saying to me that one of the benefits of ebooks is that no one can actually tell what you're reading.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look, the one thing about looking at the romance novel, even if you're not going to read them, you should check out the romance novel covers on our Overdrive site because they're hilarious, but nobody will be able to see them if you're reading them on your phone or device because, yeah, you don't want people to know that you're reading
So you looked into some of the sub-genres of romance. So, what did you find?
So you can start off, if you want to start off with something that doesn't get too saucy, and they do get very saucy, you start off with what they call sweet romance novels, which is like your Christian fiction, and there's a subgenre in that called bonnet rippers, which is your Amish romance, which is quite big. It was quite big a few years ago. So you've got, all about the Amish community. You can move on to that into your historical fiction, where you get your bodice rippers. So historical fiction, historical romance fiction is anything from medieval Europe, you know, pre-1950s is what they say for that kind of stuff. The biggest romance historical stuff is the Regency romance, you know, we're thinking like, and this is interesting because it's like Bridgerton. If you've watched Bridgerton, Bridgerton was originally it's a romance novel. It's a really trashy romance novel. It's like a Mills and Boons type thing. So that's really, really popular. So you're thinking in your Regency things, you're thinking rogues and rakes and dukes and earls. So, you know, titles like Who's That Earl and Tall Duke and Dangerous and Never Deny a Duke, so kind of things like that. Or you could just go into your Julia Quinn, like your Bridgerton type stuff.
I usually try to remain silent when I interview people so that I can cut myself out of it, but I feel like that's impossible for me to do with some of this.
Yeah. Oh, another romance, historical romance, is your Highland romance. You know, like Outlander. Outlander was really big. It's become a TV series, and yeah, that's quite good. But there's whole raft. I've done a collection a while back called Men in Kilts, and so there's a whole lot of romance novels with topless men in kilts. So things like Hit Me With Your Best Scott, and it's getting Scott in here. Highland romance. There you go. What else have we got? Cowboy romance. This gets quite, you know, you've got your man in a hat and his shirt off. This is all aimed at the ladies, which is, you know, why not?
But it's not all aimed at the ladies, is it?
No. There's a huge amount of LGBTQIA+ novels. And some of those, one of the top reads was a title called Red, White and Royal Blue. And then there's things like Two Rogues Make a Right and I Can't Think Straight. So there's all sorts of things like hundreds of titles, and that's like a growing area. Romance is even big with YA as well. So all those teens who like book talk, they all got into Colleen Hoover. Now, Colleen Hoover is just another romance writer. So, yeah. Oh, the one we haven't come up with yet is there's fantasy romance, which I haven't delved too deeply in, but there's also paranormal romance, which is your vampires, shapeshifters type thing. One that I'm actually going to read myself, and it's kind of because it's a comedy slash paranormal romance, and it's called Hot and Badgered, and it's the Honey Badgered series. And they advertise it as sort of humorous, so that could be a good, you know, like if you're wanting to, like a tongue-in-cheek sort of, yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like there's a lot in there for people to enjoy over their summer holiday.
Yeah, I think you should all get into reading a romance novel on the sly on your phone.
Excellent.
Thanks, Kai, Jessica and Simone. You can find that interview with Jessica and others like it on the Christchurch City Libraries website, christchurchcitylibraries.com. That's also where you'll find the full range of e-resources available to library members. It's also where you'll find all the details of the events that will continue throughout the month of January for summertime. Things like our Orana Park Storytime sessions, the Teddy Bears Picnic happening at Linwood Park, and also the Lunar New Year events happening at the end of January.
Exactly. And just a few messages before we sign off. If you aren't a Christchurch City Libraries member but you'd like to be, please submit an online application for membership via our website or call our fingertip library team on 03 941 7923 and or pop into your local library. Remember, membership is free. If you'd like to tell us something, maybe that you enjoy listening to so many stories or that you've had a particularly good library experience or noticed something that could be improved, you can also submit feedback via our website. We would love to hear from you.
Finally, the Christchurch City Library Summertime Reading Challenge does end on Tuesday, the 31st of January, which means if you're aged 0 to 18, you still have just over 3 weeks left to enter. It's simple. Read 3 books and describe each book in 3 words and be in to win some amazing prizes. Again, you can head to christchurchcitylibraries.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time,
ka kite anō.